this is something that, you know, we've been praying for and fasting for and believing for, and God wants us to continue to stay in that frame of mind. I'm going to know what I mean. God doesn't want us to be, you know, distracted or sidetracked, you know, from what, you know, he has spoken to us to begin to believe for. You know, I know that some of you are believing for, you know, some big things. And we are seeing God move in a big way, but God wants us to continue. And just let me read this, if I can, this morning. Matthew 25, then shall the kingdom of heaven be likened unto 10 virgins, which took their lamps and went forward to meet the bridegroom. 5 of them were wise and 5 were foolish. They that were foolish took the lamps, but took no oil with them. The wise took their oil in their vessels with their lamps. And while the bridegroom tarried, they all slumbered and slept. And at midnight there was a cry made, and behold, the bridegroom cometh. Go out to meet him. This is talking about the rapture of the church here. Then all those virgins arose and trimmed their lamps. And the foolish said unto the wise, give us your oil, for our lamps have gone out. And the wise answered and said, no, not so, lest there be not enough for us and you. But go rather to them that sell and buy for yourselves. They're saying it would not be a good thing if we gave you what we, and then all the lamps went out. And while they went to buy, the bridegroom came, and they that were ready went in with him to the marriage, and the door was shut. And afterwards came also the other virgins, saying, Lord, Lord, open up to us. And he said, verily I say unto you, I know you not. Watch therefore, for you know neither the day nor the hour wherein the Son of Man cometh. Father, we just thank you for another day, Lord. Every time we come together, God, we come believing and expecting, God, and you never fail. Lord, this morning I believe, God, you're just going to open up the word to us, Lord, and just continue, Father, to give us what we have need of for the moment that we are in. Lord, and for the days ahead, God, we don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. Lord, we believe, though, that you've got everything in your palm of your hands. Lord, you are in control of it all. So, God, this morning, Lord, just take the word, Lord, and give us relevant revelation. We're going to claim that together once again. In Jesus' name. I alluded to this scripture last Sunday, but I didn't have time to really get into it. And it's talking here about the 10 virgins. And the number 10 in the Bible speaks of perfection, completion. So it's safe to say that all of these 10 virgins are believers. They are bridesmaids. In the Jewish weddings, the bridesmaids would be together, and they would go out when they heard that the bridegroom was coming, and they would lead him to the bride, and then they would all go off to the groom's home for the wedding feast. Well, the Bible's talking here about 5 that were foolish, who brought, was talking to, first of all, about the 5 wise who had oil, and the 5 foolish who had no oil. Now, that word foolish in the Greek means morose. That's where we get the word moron. Somebody listen. 5 that were foolish. It's also, you know, the word stupid. God doesn't want his people to be stupid. Somebody listening to me said that before. I thought I'd better say it again, just in case somebody didn't hear me the first 10 times. But it's talking here, church, about half the church being unprepared for the coming of the Lord. Half of the church. Just think about that. I believe this is something that we're seeing today. You know, while the bridegroom tarried, verse 5, this was not something that was unusual in those days. It was not something that was unusual, you know, for a wedding, for the bridegroom to be, you know, late, to be tarried. It happened a lot at the Jewish weddings. You know, something I kind of found out for myself, you know, before I got married, I was always, you know, on time, and I was always even early. I remember when I would work on my job, and before I got married, I was always there like a half hour early. Oh, here comes my wife. Anyways, here. I was always a half hour early, and I would sit there and, you know, read my Bible. And then, but the day that after I got married, I ended up being a half hour late. And from then on, I've been running, trying to catch up. Well, the fact is, Christ is tarrying in his coming should not come as a surprise. Because the Bible's full, church, of references of this. You know, the very next parable is the parable about the talents. And look what it says in verse 19 here. After a long time, the Lord of those servants cometh and reckoneth with them. After a long time. Now, we were reading here, when was it, last week, I think it was, from 2 Peter chapter 3, when it begins to talk about, you know, church, how that he began to reveal to us. He says, beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day with the Lord is as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but he is long-suffering toward us, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. But the day of the Lord will come as a thief in the night. Anybody reading this with me? Just think about that, church. The previous chapter before this, Matthew chapter 24. I'm going to go back and read something here. In Matthew 24, look at verse 44. Therefore, be ye also ready, for in such a time, in such an hour as you think not, the Son of Man cometh. Who then is a faithful and wise servant, whom his Lord hath made ruler over his household, to give them meat in due season. Blessed is that servant, whom his Lord, when he cometh, shall find him doing so. Verily I say unto you, that he shall make him ruler over all his goods. But if that evil servant shall say in his heart, my Lord delayeth his coming, and shall begin to smite his fellow servants, and to eat and drink with the drunken, the Lord of that servant shall come in a day when he looketh not for him, in an hour that he is not aware of, and he shall cut him asunder and appoint his portion with the hypocrites, and there shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. Boy, just think about that. You know, I read somewhere that it's been said that Julius Caesar's policy was never to forewarn his own soldiers about his plans, that they might be prepared at all times. You know, it's kind of like, well, you know what the Lord's doing here, church. He kind of gives us, you know, clues, and he gives us hints, and he gives us, church, you know, revelation about, you know, the coming of the Lord. We can see some of the signs, you know, that he gave us, even taking place today. But it's also talking here, church, about a faithful servant who, when the Lord did come, he found him doing what he called him to do. I believe this is something that the Lord is trying to get across to the church today. I want you to be doing what I called you to do when I come. But the evil servant, the Bible said, was found fighting with others. He was found eating and drinking with the drunkards. Ends up finding himself being cut off from the goodness of God. All of these examples of those who end up being left out because of how they handle his delay. Somebody listen to me. I'm going to get this. You know, we were talking Wednesday night about Paul, you know, and how he was correcting the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 4. And he was trying to get across to them how that they had been guilty of judging. And even been in a place where they were misjudging. They were judging incorrectly. Not only were they judging incorrectly, but they were judging prematurely. Well, if you notice here, church, it's kind of the same kind of thing here. These are the last parables that Christ left his disciples with before his death on the cross and his resurrection and his ascension. And I believe that he's giving them these parables to encourage their commitment. Somebody listen. Even in his delay. So, you know, we get to a point today, church, and we're looking for this, you know, for the coming of the Lord. We see the world that we're living in, and we see all the things that's going on, church, and we know that it's going to be soon. We see that, you know, the condition of people and their lives, and we just see the devil working like we've never seen him. So we know that the Lord is coming soon. But it's showing here, church, showing them that many would remain strong and faithful and committed. Talking about those, you know, those five that were wise. They had plenty of oil, you know, and they were ready for when the bridegroom came, and they were ready to go out and to meet him. But it's also, church, that's talking here about the others that were basically what I call fly-by-nights. We got the committed, and we got the fly-by-nights. Somebody help me. Got to hang on. Bear with me on this. I believe that's kind of the distinction in the church today. We've got those that are committed, and we've got those that are kind of the fly-by-night. The foolish were those five who were invited to be part of the wedding feast. You know, it's like you and I, church, when we come to the Lord and we become believers and we give our heart to the Lord, and we know we are now become part of the wedding supper of the Lamb, Revelation chapter 19. Yet, you know, these other five ended up being left out. The fly by night. What's it say at midnight the bridegroom came? And what did they have to end up doing? They had to end up going off and trying to fight. You know what? I looked it up. There is a meaning for the phrase fly by night. How many's ever heard of somebody being called that? Well, there's a meaning to that. It's somebody that is unreliable, somebody who's untrustworthy, especially in business or financial matters. Man, think about that. In other words, it's somebody that you can't count on. Anybody know that? The five foolish were like the evil servant who mishandled his master's goods, his master's servants, who mishandled his master's delay. You know, half the church today are in that same kind of spiritual condition that, you know, Christ began to predict here. He's telling us here, church, that half the church would be in this shape before he comes due to spiritually mishandling his delay. Which is due to what here? A lack of oil. Somebody getting this with me? All of a sudden, you know, we've got the five that were prepared. They had plenty of oil. And then we had five that had their lamps but had no oil. You know, and I'm looking at this, and it's something here, church, that the Bible begins to talk about, begins to encourage us with. Ephesians chapter 5. Let me read something here again. It says, "Awake there, thou that sleepest, arise from the dead. Christ shall give thee light. See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not unwise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. Be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit." This is what it's talking about, church, and it just kind of connects with Matthew chapter 5. It's talking about not being foolish, but being wise. It's talking about, church, not being drunken in the flesh, but being filled with the Spirit. I'm reading this, church, and when it talks about this in Ephesians chapter 5, this is talking about a continual filling. This is something, church, a continual filling of the Holy Spirit. Now, we know, church, that when we come to the Lord and accept Christ as our Savior, we receive a portion of the Holy Spirit. But God wants us, church, to continue to be filled. We continue, church, to be filled through prayer. Anybody listening to me? Through the word, through our fasting, through being in church. We'll come and fill you up. How many's ever, you know, been in a place where you know you've gone and you come to church and then you went out and you worked your job and you know you raised your children, but then you come back to service the next time that the doors were open to get filled up again? Well, this is what God's talking about. This is something, church, that we can find that we can do in our own life, on our everyday life, just continually being filled with the Spirit, continually find ourselves in that place of prayer, getting into the Word, church, and allowing the Holy Spirit to begin to reveal the Word of God to us, begin to give us revelation of what God is trying to tell us at that very moment. This is talking about, church, being filled on a continual basis with the Holy Spirit. But the fly-by-nights misjudged the importance of the oil. See, what we find here, church, is that I found a lot of things about the oil. Oil, we find, lubricates. That means it keeps you flexible. It will keep you from becoming rusty. Somebody listening to me. I've seen people become rusty in their spiritual walk. They get to a point that it's all become predictable. It's all become stale. It's just an everyday thing, you know. But it doesn't have to be that way. We said it the other night, church. Every day with Jesus gets better than the day before. Amen. Anybody find this out? If you haven't found it out, church, someone needs to tell you. You need to find this out for yourself. Oil, church, lubricates. It keeps you flexible and keeps you from getting rusty. It keeps you from getting worn out. Because the world can wear you out. How many know what I'm talking about? Church, the job can wear you out. Your family can wear you out. The kids can wear you out. The job can wear you out. The financial pressures can wear you out. The things, church, that you hear going on in the world on a daily basis can wear you out. But yet the oil continues to lubricate and keep you from being worn out. It can keep your church in that place that it can keep you. You know, they put a lot of oil on things to, you know, to deter the chance of friction. Anybody know what I'm talking about? It will. I'm talking about the Holy Spirit can get you in a place, church, that he can keep you from losing your cool, from getting hot under the collar. Anybody know what I'm talking about? The oil will heal you. Luke chapter 10 begins to talk about how the oil brings healing and restoration. Poured in the oil and the wine. The oil will warm you as fuel. Come on, somebody. Holy Spirit will keep you from getting cold. Lukewarm. God don't want that. The oil, church, invigorates and it quickens. Anybody ever get to a point, church, that you just need to, I've heard of, you know, these people going to, I've never done it myself, but I've heard of people going and getting massages. It kind of invigorates, I guess, the oil, you know, the oil in the massage kind of invigorates, you know, this is what the anointing oil is really all about. You know, the Bible talks about that when they would pour out the anointing oil. It was not something that they just, you know, put a little dab on them, but they poured it upon them and massaged it in. This is something, church, God's trying to get in here. He's trying to get into you. God doesn't want to just, you know, get you to a point that you have that shallow relationship with him, but God's trying to get some good things in you. Go take the Holy Spirit, church. I believe the Holy Spirit also adorns. That means the Holy Spirit makes you pleasant to be around. Is that okay? I may know some people around you, you know, need a little bit of that. Isn't that funny how we can always see it in somebody else before we see it in us? Oh, no, God, Pastor, I'm great to be around. I'm happy. People love being around me. But there's some people around me, boy, they sure need a good dip. But that's what the Holy Spirit will do. The Holy Spirit will make you to the point that people want to be around you. Some of you sitting there, great, that's all I need. More people. More people wanting something from me. Oh. Well, if you've got something to give, what are you worried about? I think this is what God's calling us to do, church, in the last day. You need to have something from the Lord to be able to give other people. You need to be able to rub off on somebody else. There's enough bad things and there's enough negative things. There's enough depression and oppression in this world. I believe it's time to rub off some joy on somebody. Oh my. The oil polishes up, makes it shine real nice and bright. Oil is also used to illuminate, to light. I start thinking about this, church. What good is a lamp without the ability to illuminate? Anybody know what I'm talking about? What good is that lamp? Anybody's ever had a lamp and the bulb went out? And you just left it there like that for until you finally got tired of being in the dark and it was gloomy in that part of the house, so I'm going to go and change the bulb. Isn't it amazing how we can get sometimes, church, to a point that we can, you know, I'm just going to leave it there. It's become nothing. It's become a prop. It's a furniture, piece of furniture. It's just an object if it's not illuminating. Somebody know what I mean? And yet we're content with that sometimes. We get content. The bulb goes out and it stays out until we get to the point that we can't take it anymore and finally go replace the bulb. Oh, you know, I got to think of it. What good is a Christian without love? Somebody help me. What good is a Christian without joy? It's just sitting there doing nothing. What good is a Christian without peace? What good is a Christian without faith? Somebody listening to me? What good is a Christian without power? Oh, come on, somebody. We're talking about getting our prayers answered. Anybody got some big things you're waiting on? This is what we're talking about here. What good is a child of God that God can't count on? They're like that lamp there that's sitting there, church, with the bulb burnout. But yet there are times, church, that we find ourselves, we get into a place that we are comfortable, all right, just sitting there in the dark. When God's wanting us, church, to get to the point, wait a minute, that's not what I called you to do. I called you to be prepared. I called you to have power. I called you to be anointed. I called you to be the light of the world, a light that's hidden, not hidden under a bushel, church. It's good for nothing. I called you to be the city that sit on a hill. Fly by nights, they go and they leave empty-handed, powerless, good for nothing at the appointed time. You know, many fail to realize, church, they fail to receive from the Lord at the appointed time because of the way that they mishandled the delay. Did you hear me? I said a lot of times we don't receive what God has for us because of the way that we handle or mishandle his tarrying. Anybody ever waiting on something? Come on, somebody. I'm just praying right now and waiting on something. Oh, but you see, this is what God's trying to show. Church, it is important how we handle the delay. See, because a lot of times we don't receive everything that we've been praying for, everything that God has for us, everything that God has spoke to us and revealed to us, everything that God has placed in our spirit. We're not receiving those things because we're mishandling his tarrying. You can't stop praying. Come on, somebody. Just because you haven't received, you can't stop praying. You can't stop, church, getting into your word. And oh, pastor, what's the use? I've read it 1,000 times. What's the use? You can't get to that point, church, because you're mishandling the delay. All of a sudden, you can't stop believing that it's going to happen. You're giving them, church, you can't be in a point where you are believing and waiting and trusting God and then get to the point that you just stop praying, you just stop believing, you just give up on that thing. Well, maybe God never intended for me to have it. Well, if God placed it in your spirit to pray for it, church, he intended for you to have it. Oh, we can't stop, church. We can't give in to that because all of a sudden we have no power to receive. Oh, how many times, church, is that we know that what the Word of God declares to us, that, wait a minute, he's the God that heals me. He's got healing for me, and he's got blessing for me, and he's got breakthrough for me. And we believe that, and we walk out of here with that, and with every intention. But all of a sudden, something begins to take place, church, after we receive what, you know, that Word that God gives us. All of a sudden, we have the enemy that comes against us, and next thing you know, we're not praying like we were. We're not believing like we were. We're not in our word like we were. We just kind of, you know, just become that lamp that's sitting there with the light going out on us. Anybody's ever seen one begin to flicker? You know that it's coming. Anybody ever see a lamp and the light bulb begins to flicker a little bit? You know that it's going to go out. What do? Do you go and replace it before it goes out, or do you just let it go out? Ting. You go over and tap it. You go over and tighten it a little bit because you want to get every ounce of that out of it as you. If you know that thing's going out, if this is the way that, this is something that God's speaking to his church. If you feel yourself getting into a place where you're not in that place with God that you one time more, you need to do something about it. If that light's starting to flicker a little bit, somebody needs to do something about it. That's why he sends you to a church like this on a Sunday morning, so somebody might go and get their bulb replaced. Now, I'm good, just tapping it. I just want to find me a church where they'll tap it. I just want to find a place that they just tighten me up a little. God's trying to replace you with something, the old things with something new. Bible said, old things pass away, all things become new. I'd like a church when the old starts to fade out and the new is replacing it. Come on, somebody, know what I'm talking about. Oh, I got faith that I didn't have. Anybody feel this way? Oh, pastor, I got faith that I didn't have 6 months ago. I'm understanding the word in a greater way than I did when I first started coming to church. God's speaking some new, fresh things to me and now I'm believing for it and I'm waiting on it. Well, you know what? Hold on. Keep praying. Keep believing. Stay in your word. Stay in church. Continue giving. You watch what God's going to do. They're going to. Then what do we find here, church? Because all of a sudden, I'm looking at the five foolish, and they realize they're in a jam. So they look to the other five. Give us some of your oil. And I start thinking about that. You know, and we only got enough for us. If we give you ours, we're all going to be dark. Only got enough for us. They were filled with oil enough to get them to the wedding. But God's trying to get us to the place it's continual. Amen. Somebody know what I mean? Amen. You're not just going to get filled up Sunday to Sunday. God wants this to be a continual thing. Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday. Amen. Get in that word. Get in that place of prayer. A continual thing. This is what, and I started thinking about, you know, church, we should have that continual filling so that you and I have enough to give somebody else when they need it. We need to be able to go to church and speak a word that will wake the whole church up. Let them know that, remind them that Jesus is coming. We should, church, have the anointing upon us and within us to heal the sick. There's an anointing, church, to set the captives free. There's that blessing, church, that power of the Holy Ghost that you can be a blessing. You know what? I can't save you, but I should have enough of God to get you there. Somebody helping me. Boy, I was thinking about this, church, and I said, what, you know, when we come into the house of the Lord, this is what we're trying to do today. I'm trying to get you to the place that, you know, that you're waiting and you're still able to hold on. You're still able to remain committed to what you know that God has for you. And by listening to me. You know what? I don't want half the church to be ready and half the church just to be sitting there with morons. I got half the church is wise and the other half is morons. Somebody help me. I'm trying to make it. Is this okay on a Sunday morning? I think I thought I saw some visitors here. I don't know if they've left or not. This is what I'm trying to do. How many ever remember? See, I believe that they used to compare the church to a filling station. Anybody remember that? They used to compare the church to the filling station. Of course, that was, you know, when I was younger and I was growing up. Filling stations were different in those days. Oh, yeah. Anybody remember? Oh, yeah. How many remember when they were full service? Yeah. Oh, yeah. Remember that far back? Then all of a sudden they came up with self-serve. Yeah. Sound familiar, huh? Uh-huh. Oh, I liked it. I used to love it when they would have the full service because the guy would come, you know, running out there with the Jiffy service, you know, and just, you know, wash your windows, you know, and put the gas in for you. All you did was sit in the car. Wasn't that nice? Not now. No, but that was to help you. Nowadays, you know, and remember when they used to have the old filling station? There used to be a sign in the window that said mechanic on duty. Remember those? Donald, remember those days? Mechanic on duty. That means if you broke down and you came to the filling station, you could get repaired and fixed and go back out again. Church used to be like, they used to compare the church to a filling station. Now all the filling station is good for is gas. Sometimes they didn't got gas. Went into Conoco here last week. It had tapes all around it. No gas. That's all self-serve. You know, now they got snacks. Filling station got all kind of snacks and goodies, you know, candy and drinks. And old JT's got the best chicken in town. Somebody listening to me. And do you know something, church? The filling stations, they will even sell oil. Some of them even sell oil. But if you break down, somebody listening, you're going in, you're... But the church today has gotten to the point, you know, they got a lot of snacks, goodies. You could even bring your coffee in. Somebody listen to me. A lot of times they don't have the fuel. God forbid you come in here broke down. Somebody listen to me. I don't believe God intended it that way. Anybody listening to me? Yeah. I don't believe church that God ever intended for the church to get to the point that it is today a lot of times. God intends church. You know what? I find out that it's gotten to the point that when people are sick, they used to come to church to get better. Now if they get sick, they stay away from church. Well, I don't want to get everybody else sick. Somebody listening to me. Used to come to church to get better. Used to come to church to get healed. Why? Because the church had power. Now they come to church because the church got goodies. Church got snacks. Church got coffee. You can sit in the overflow and watch church on TV. God never intended it to be that way. Jesus began to make it real clear, church. He said, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me. He comes into the church, into the tabernacle, and he begins to, I'm going to tell you something. The Spirit of the Lord is upon me because he has anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, the recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty them that are bruised. Yes. Spirit of the Lord is upon me. For he has anointed me. This is what God intended the church to be. God intended for the church to have power. God intended, what's the problem? Well, Pastor, we've just gotten comfortable in his delay. He hasn't come, we've been waiting, he hasn't come, so we're just going to make, we just gotten to the point that we've gone and doing other things. You know, we won't make it real nice and cozy and real nice and comfortable until he gets here. But what happens to those churches that find themselves in a position where they got a need? What happens, church, when you find yourself in a position where you've got you're having a spiritual breakdown? And I can't find it. I can't find solace. And I can't find a remedy in my snacks or the drinks or the goodies or the coffee. I need somebody that's got the power of God in their life. I got to find me a church that still believes in prayer. I got to find a church that's still preaching the word of God. I need to find a church where the anointing of the Holy Ghost is still welcome in that place. I need to find a church that's still got something when I need it. You know what, church? We are the light of the world. But if we're sitting there with no power, we ain't good to nobody. Just tap it. Just tap it, Pastor. I just came in here this morning for a little tap. You're trying to replace my bulb. Yeah, that's right, I am. I'm trying to get some of that old thinking out of you and replace it with some of the Word of God. I want to get that Word of God in your mind, in your heart, in your spirit. Isn't that what God intended it to be? God intended the church, what? All days be a filling station. Come in here, church, and receive something from God that you can walk out of here and you might have something to give somebody else. Well, I can share my coffee with you. You know, a lot of times that's all they're looking for. That's all people, you don't know how many people that come by this church and all they're looking for is a handout. That's all they're looking. They're just looking for, you know, I'm just trying to get on to the next. I just need a little gas money. Somebody listening to me. But I believe that there's some people out there that's looking for something more. You're going to come to a conclusion. Wait a minute. You know what? It's awful dark where I'm at. I need to get out in the light. Amen. How many like it when you know when you get, you know, three or four or five of these days where you don't see the sun? Anybody know that's depressing? You know, you've got states like, you know, Washington, state of Washington, Oregon, that and a lot of times they don't see the sunshine for weeks. But do you know that in those places are the highest rate of suicide? Are in Oregon, in Washington state, and some of the that don't get the sunshine? Do we understand, church? This is why that a lot of the church is sitting there depressed. You know why? Because they're sitting in the dark. I'm going to send you to church and get you replace your bulb. I'm going to send you out of there with something that you might be able to light up your little corner of the world. Isn't that the way it's supposed to be, church? I thought from the time that I was little, you know, when I went to church and they would begin to sing that little songs, you know, about this little light of mine. I kind of had a feeling that was talking about me. This little light of mine, I'm going to let it shine. Huh? Remember that? Oh, yeah. Oh, Pastor, that was in the old days when they had the filling stations. Hide it under a bushel. No, I'm going to let it. I ain't going to let Satan blow it out. You're going to make me sing it, aren't you? Won't let Satan blow it out. Oh, I like that part. That was always my favorite part. Won't let Satan blow it out. I'm going to let it shine. Shine all over the overflow. Somebody help me. Oh, maybe it's sitting in the overflow saying, hey, that's why I sat back here. I wasn't trying to get some. It's bright enough out there. I think God's trying to tell us something, don't you? Jesus is trying to get us to the point, do you understand that the Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach the gospel to the poor. He has sent me to heal the broken down. Somebody rolls in the Grace Tabernacle on a Sunday morning, church. I want to see, and they broke down. I want to fix them up before they get out of here. You can't do that, church, if there ain't no power, if there ain't no oil. You know what Jesus said? He said, he has sent me to heal the brokenhearted, to preach deliverance to the captives, recovering of sight to the blind, to set at liberty to them that are bruised, to preach the acceptable year of the Lord. Amen. What is the acceptable year of the Lord? That is the year of the Lord's favor. Somebody help with me. The acceptable year of the Lord is the year of the Lord's favor. And I've been preaching it before this year ever come around, that this was going to be the most productive year we ever had. Amen. Somebody agreeing with me. Somebody get a hold of that. Somebody start praying that way. And do you know something, church? We got to continue praying that way. Oh, Pastor, I've been praying for the most productive year I've ever had. Well, do you know something, church? That is dependent on how you handle the delay. Because it's April right now, church, and we're starting to see some good things happen right here at Grace Tabernacle. But, well, maybe some of you are sitting there and you're waiting on yours. Oh, Pastor, I've been praying for something. You said that this is going to be the most productive year that we've ever had. And I've been praying and I've been believing for something, and I haven't seen it take place yet. Well, you know what? Hold on, because what you receive is going to be dependent upon how you handle the delay. (Laughter) You got to continue to pray. You got to continue to stay in your word. You got to continue to believe. You got to continue to claim that thing. Even though I'm still feeling the ache and the pain in my body, I'm still claiming that he is my healer. And this is the year for my healing. This is the year for my miracle. This is the year for my breakthrough. This is the year that my family's going to get saved. Because if not, church, you're going to be left out. The door's going to close, and you're going to be on the, out there on the outside banging on the door. How did I miss that? Well, it's because how you handled his tearing. Because sometimes he'll tarry just to see how you're going to handle it. Oh, hold on. I'm gonna wait just a few days, and I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to really show you something. I'm going to raise Brother Lazarus from the dead. I'm going to tarry. I'm going to delay a little bit. Then I'm going to go down there, and I'm going to show you power. See, I believe, church, that God's got something good for me. And there are times that the enemy will come against me because he wants me to mishandle the delay. He'd like to get me to start whining, get me to complain a little bit. Lord, why is it that you don't? I come in here one time and I said, Lord, don't leave me like this. Somebody know what I meant. Anybody ever feel that way? Lord, don't leave me like that. Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. Don't leave me like this. Come on, somebody help me. They tried to shut him up. They tried to calm him down. They tried to keep him quiet. Don't bother him right now. Tap it, tap it, tap it. I don't need to. I don't want to be tapped. I don't want to be left like this. I don't want him. But he's got power to do something in my life, to change my life. I've been like this long enough. I've been sitting here in the dark long enough. Anybody know what I mean? It's blind Bartimaeus, and he's sitting there in the dark. You want me just to tap it? You want me to just stay like I am? He can illuminate everything. How many realize this morning, church, the Lord is coming. How are you handling the tearing? Are you still waiting? You still believing? Are you still looking for me? Are you still wanting me to come? Even so, Lord Jesus, come quickly! Anybody? I'm afraid sometimes that the church has gotten to a point that we don't want him to come yet. We're enjoying ourselves. We are comfortable. I like the way that it is right now. You poor thing. You obviously got blinders on. You're living in the dark because I see clearly this world is a mess and it's heading for Armageddon. Jesus is coming soon. So we're sitting here this morning. Bow your heads with me all over the building. Stand to your feet with me if you can. Lord, this morning, God, we know what your word is declaring. Father, I believe that you are preparing us for all those things that you have for us. Lord, those things that you've placed in our spirit, Lord, those things that you have in store for us, Lord, we're ready for those things. We won't see those things. Things that we have never seen before, we are believing for, God. And God, even this morning, I believe that there were those in this place, God, that they're in that waiting period. And it's important for them to understand before they leave here today, Lord, that they got to handle the delay. Lord, we got to do this your way. We're going to continue to pray. We're going to continue to believe. Am I talking to anybody?